Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Thursday. The Packers, huge announcement, bringing back Christian Welch, the linebacker, who I think Corey admitted yesterday he had no idea who he was. But he is back in the lineup, but pretty quiet across the Green Bay front, as we talked about yesterday on Packer Transplants. Thanks to all of you who tuned in. You can expect the Packers to probably sit back now and let the market settle quite a bit. Don't doubt for a moment that they'll continue to have conversations with folks and possibly let the second wave of free agency, so to speak, pass until getting to the third wave and then really kind of starting to pick things over. But for the most part, I would suspect the Packers are going to sit back and let prices come down, so to speak. I do think it's going to be fascinating to see if they sign either a linebacker or another safety in free agency prior to the draft, especially a linebacker. You got to think they don't want to go into next month's draft having to draft a linebacker. We've seen throughout Brian Gutekunst's tenure in Green Bay, he likes to ensure that he's not boxed in by need heading into the draft. But there's a long way to go, plenty of time prior to that having to happen. I did want to touch on Jaire Alexander, as the name of this video indicates. I think we're in for a pretty significant bounce back year from Ja Money. There's no doubt 2023 was very frustrating, and not just because he did suffer multiple injuries, which kept him out for a good long time. There was obviously the late season suspension. We've heard nothing but good things from both Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur about Jaire heading, going forward, how he handled that entire situation. And here's the thing. I don't think it's telling tales out of school to say, even when, Jaire was on the field yesterday, he was not his usual self. He was not as effective as he had been. Until you get late in the season post-suspension, and you look at a guy who's playing through an injury. That ankle really bothered him pretty much from the moment he got back. But man, don't look much further than that Dallas game to see how effective he can still be, especially when being asked to be aggressive, be a little bit more physical at the line of scrimmage. Big interception early in that game to turn the tide and really allow the Packers to take firm control of the game. And I'm not sitting here telling you, oh, Halfley's going to have him doing that down in and down out, but I do think we'll see quite a bit more of it from Jaire and from the secondary in general. But Jaire specifically should be allowed to use kind of his gifts, right, in a way that just wasn't very prevalent under Joe Barry. And now you can pinpoint certain games along Barry's kind of three-year tenure in Green Bay where Jaire was allowed to do some of those things. But more often than not, it feels like Jaire was a victim of circumstance a lot of the time. I think a clean bill of health, obviously a number one, but B, the scheme switch and kind of a shift in focus and what is being asked of him is going to be very liberating for Jaire. I expect we're going to see a guy who is allowed to be physical at the line of scrimmage, allowed to play a bit more man coverage, not a ton. I don't think it's going to be a huge shift. I do think he's still obviously going to be playing within a scheme, a vision-based scheme, as we heard Halfley talk about. But I do think he's going to be given an opportunity to shine a little bit more. And I think he's up for it. I think he's going to rise to the challenge, and I think he's going to remind people, especially, a lot of the naysayers, not just other fan bases, but there's some people in the Packers fan base who have kind of started to rumble about Jaire after this season. And I think he's going to put every one of those kind of doubts to rest. And I, for one, am very much looking forward to it. Hello to everybody in the comments section. So good to see everybody. Right off the bat here, I got Joseph asking, Nags, when can we get nervous that Jacobs and McKinney deals are not official yet? For example, Justin Simmons was supposedly going to the Eagles, but now they got CJ Gardner-Johnson. The Packers are always meticulous about this sort of thing, most likely not even having those guys booked on a flight until things were official on Wednesday as far as the start of the new league year. Then they got to get them in the door. They got to get them, their physicals taken, and then the deal itself signed, etc. I would suspect we'll see and hear these official announcements soon, if not while I'm talking. But no, I don't suspect there's any reason to be nervous anytime when the Packers are involved, because they are going to take things slow. They are meticulous about these situations, and that's just who they are, right? Now, we get here like next Thursday and there's still no announcement, then talk to me. But yeah, no, I am not nervous at all. What else we got here, folks? We got Abdul. What's going on, man? Haven't seen you in a while. Hey, Aaron, did they not know Jones would take a pay cut until this week? They had all offseason to figure it out. Just don't understand how things changed all of a sudden. Well, they weren't talking in season. You know, that's not the time that those negotiations were had. You know, you can talk about, you know, what they knew or didn't know, but they hadn't talked to Rosenhaus until, you know, after the season had concluded, and probably not until the combine a couple weeks ago. So, you know, there was no doubt that they knew they wanted to get that cap hit under control, but they hadn't spoken to Jones's people at all until the combine. So, you know, we talked about this pretty extensively on Transplants last night, and I would highly recommend, thanks to Tyler for clipping the segment about Aaron Jones, that you check that out here on the channel. I had some thoughts. Michael says, I'm so ready for the draft. You and me both, brother. Amar, how are you, man? Thanks for being a Care of the G Club member. How you feel about bringing Micah home? I feel like George and Brad in Ocean 11. We need one more. Loved y'all yesterday, as always. Hyped for 24-25. Yeah, I did see the report. I think it was MJ put it out there about the potential of a Micah reunion. I don't doubt maybe some phone calls have been had. Maybe interest has been expressed. But I'm going to be very surprised if that actually materializes and ends up happening. And that's, I'm not casting doubt on MJ's reporting. I'm sure he's heard what he's heard and putting it out there. But I'm going to be very, very surprised if that materializes. I think Micah is older on the kind of back end of his tenure in the NFL. It's not the type of deal Brian or the Packers would typically do, right? And I think you guys know this, but never say never. I'm not going to completely dismiss the idea out of hand. And possibly it's conversations about, look, if we get, you know, down the road here in free agency or even post-draft and we don't like our safety room, maybe we'll keep talking, right? That's the kind of thing where that kind of conversation would not surprise me in any way, shape, or form, as Brian says, in on every conversation, right? And clearly they're very familiar with the player. But yeah, aging, injured the last few years, player at the back nine of his career, typically not the kind of guy that Brian and the Packers want to sign. But again, never say never. We shall see. Abdul, thanks again, man. Could we have kept both Jones without a pay cut and Jacobs? Do you think Jones would have been okay with it? Abdul, you're really obsessed with this Jones thing, aren't you? Could they have? Sure. It would have really knocked their cap out of whack. $17 million cap hit for a back who played, what, 11 games last year? And even when he's on the field, spends a good amount of that time on the sideline? That feels problematic, you know? And look, I know we're all very emotional about the Aaron Jones thing for good reason. Amazing Packer, incredibly productive, etc. But you have to look at what the Packers basically thought as far as, well, this is what we consider to be your market, right? When they offered him, what, a $4 million salary and $2 million of incentives, which would have put him at six. The Vikings offered a deal with a lot more salary, a little bit more an incentive that got them to seven, right? Pretty much says that the Packers were correct as far as what his market value is. It's just rare that you ask a guy to take a pay cut and that he's, especially a long-term veteran who's given so much to the team. That's why I said in Transplants last night, you know, when they made that ask, they had to have known that there was a decent chance that he was going to balk at that and that there's no way that Rosenhaus was going to play ball. They wanted to move on. That's my guess. They just, you know, didn't want to, as great as that end run was, and I think Billy said this on Carry the G Radio, the podcast, earlier this week. Imagine Jones's insane, productive stretch had been the first five games of the year, right? And then he had been injured for the rest of the remainder of the year, and we don't see him. I think Packers fans' feelings about this move would probably be a bit different. But because he was so insanely productive down the stretch in playoff games, yeah, I get, like, being frustrated about watching him walk out the door. And don't get it twisted. I fucking hate that Aaron Jones is not going to be retiring as a Packer. But dispassionately, removing emotion from it, I understand the move. John, what's up, man? Does talent still outweigh issues off the field? That's a good question, John. I'm not quite sure where you're headed with that. I think it's a case-by-case basis. I don't think anything is a lock solid, this is always going to be the case. I think really depends on what issues you're talking about. David, what's up, man? Hi from Ireland. Talks of Hyde reunion. Thoughts, David? Just talked about that pretty extensively. I'd be surprised, but never say never. Nick, what's up, man? Talked to Caleb after the tender today. Dude is stoked. Go Pack, go. Nick and I, we have a campaign here to get Caleb more playing time. Can't wait to get to training camp and watch him ball out. I really do think that injury last year just completely robbed him of a chance, right? And that's the other thing. I don't think he's going to be handed anything, but give him a chance to compete, and I think he will rise to that chance. Doug, what's up, man? Big day in Packer history. My 28-year-old kid got on the season ticket waiting list the day he was born. Got them this week. Go Pack, go. Amazing. Doug, that's an outstanding accomplishment, and that's got to feel great. Congrats to your kid. I hope he's got an open wallet. That's the comp. That's the part that hits quickest and hardest. Christopher, any news on the Jordan Love extension? There won't be any news, Christopher, until May. They are not allowed to even speak to each other, the two sides being Athletes First and David Mulgeta, Jordan's agent, and the Green Bay Packers, due to some very, very kind of buried minutiae in the collective bargaining agreement. Because of the way the Packers approach the fifth-year option, giving him a one-year extension rather than exercising it, there is some very, very kind of buried deep reasons in the CBA that says they are not allowed to speak for like one calendar year after that move got made. So they are not allowed to speak about extension until early May. I think it's May 5th or 6th. But once that happens, I have zero doubt you will hear that they have entered talks, and sometime this summer, you'll hear about an extension for Jordan Love. Maybe it drags out through the summer and they wait to announce it at the start of camp. They've done that kind of thing before with Bakhtiari, with Jordy Nelson back in the day. They like to start camp with some good news, and this would be a bit of good news, no doubt about it. Vex, what's up, man? Do you expect LVN to provide bigger impact for 23? Do you mean Lucas Van Ness to be able to, say, hurry the quarterback and allow 23 Jaire Alexander to feast? Yes. I think everybody up front is going to help in that regard. I do think one of the things I'm most excited about is the fact that as much as we've talked about Halfley and the 4-3 and the scheme they're switching to, you know, the pressure packages that he's bringing in dating back to like Rex Ryan, that's can be a very creative system and a very creative way of getting after the quarterback, exerting pressure and getting the quarterback off his spot, maybe hurrying that release a little bit, should allow Jaire and those guys on the back end jump a few more routes, right? Make at least some plays on the ball. Think about that. I was kind of thinking about this. One of the reasons I started with Jaire today was I was going back and watching a couple games from last season. There are so many fucking games where you just watch and balls are completed without a defensive back in the area of the intended receiver. And if there is, it's very rare that there's even an attempt at a pass breakup. It's almost like, oh, I know this is going to be completed, but I got to make sure I make the tackle rather than contesting catches. Like, that's going to look pretty different under Halfley. That you can count on. And part of that, yes, should be about guys up front winning and affecting the quarterback. You know, that's just football. Jeff Ness, what's up, man? Why do you think that the running backs are not as valued league-wide? Lots of shuffling the deck. Well, it's a fungible position, right? When you can get a guy in a draft class, say, probably like this one, who is essentially cheap labor, and you can not utilize a premium pick for him more often than not, you can get guys on day two or day three even, who can come in and be productive right away. Well, use them up and spit them out, right? Now, we did see many more backs on the market this year. Lots of guys were available because so many guys got franchise tagged last year. I think there's still a market for their services, but it's nowhere near the premium positions. I mean, shit, I think John Runyon did better than some of the running backs in this free agency period. You know, I just think there's no doubt that running backs have been devalued across the league, no matter what anybody says. However, I do think there's still a case to be made that there are special talents that at times you want to try and maybe stretch things cap-wise a little bit. But more often than not, these guys are not going to be compensated even close to where, you know, a premium wide receiver or a premium corner are going to be. They're just considered to be way more fungible than those positions are. What else we got here, folks? Janice, how are you? Thanks for being a Care of the G Club member. Hi, since we want high character guys, do we know what Jacobs and McKinney are like? I have no idea, Janice. I've talked to one person who knows Josh Jacobs a little bit, and that's about it. Fascinated to find out, right? It's got to be one of the things, though, that pro personnel works on. I can't imagine that they would be making the kind of investment they're making in both of those guys without having done a lot of that work. I mean, we talked about it with Milt Hendrickson during the draft guide 2 years ago, I believe it was, talking about how much of scouting is doing that kind of work, and not just college prospects, but in pro player personnel, right? So, yeah, no, I'm not very familiar with either of their characters or, you know, backgrounds or whatever. But again, Green Bay is not making this kind of commitment, especially financially, without having done some of that work or a lot of that work. Jeezy baby, what's going on, man? This is the beginning of the next dynasty. Move over, Chiefs. Things looking up like Carl Fredrickson. Bears still suck. Go Pack, go. Carry the G. Jeez, what's that line from C-3PO in Return of the Jedi? Oh, I wish I had your confidence. I mean, that's the hope, right? Opening up another window of contention for what could potentially be a dynasty. I mean, I'd like to live in that dream. I'd like to join you there. I got a ways to go, though. But I think they're heading in the right direction. As far as a dynasty, though, man, come on. Let's win a few more playoff games. Maybe even participate in a Super Bowl before we start talking about dynasties in Green Bay. Relax. What's up, man? Bears still suck. Yes. Yes, they do. Levi, how you doing, man? Bounce back year for Stokes? That's a billion-dollar question right there, man. I don't know how you go into 2024 counting on him. I've said that many times already this offseason. I'm sure I'm going to say it all offseason, into camp, preseason, etc. I love the idea of a bounce back year. I love the idea of is A, being able to stay healthy, and B, getting back to some of the stuff we saw his rookie season. Now, maybe Halfley, the new scheme, what he's asked to do, I hope that that lends itself to his game, especially stuff at the line of scrimmage, guy with long arms, not afraid to be physical with wide receivers at the line. Not gonna always be pressing, but just hope that it is they're able to lean into his strengths a little bit more. Because God damn, that second year was so hard to watch. That first game in Minnesota, it started there and it never really got better until he got hurt in Detroit in week 9. Those deep over routes where he's letting guys with free releases just flow into the middle of the field and giving up 20, 25-yard gains repeatedly all season long, that's got to stop. And then, you know, he misses so much time with the injury, injures the hamstring on those 4 plays in Denver, then misses more time, like basically 4 more games, and then comes back and just looks bad in Carolina. I mean, B-A-D. Now, how much of that is coming off the injury? How much of that is rust? How much of that is actual, you know, regression or a lack of talent or whatever? I mean, who knows? But I love the idea, but there's a long way to go there. And again, I don't know how you count on it. You got to be looking at him as a major question mark if you're the Packers, if you're Brian. And that's why I say, you know, I know Justice says cornerback's not a need in this draft. I very much disagree for that reason, among others. Adam, what's up, man? My buddy Zim says to never buy a current Packer jersey, so who should I go for this year? Adam, always get a Bart Starr jersey. That's where you should start. Every Packers jersey collection should start with Bart Starr. And then after that, your mileage may vary. If you absolutely have to have a current Packer, may I suggest Elgton Jenkins or perhaps Lucas Van Ness? Those are guys that I think will be around a while. Ryan, what's up, man? Like I said before, your best ability is availability. You ain't lying, man. Can't make the club in the tub. Luke, how you doing, man? Hope the West Coast is treating you well. Enjoy a beer on me. Who on the current roster would you like to have a beer with? That's a good question, especially now that Dave's not on it. Hold on a second. Let me salute. There we go. Let me see. Who on the current roster would I most like to have a beer with? That's a great question. Probably Zach Tom, but I don't know if he drinks beer. I must investigate. That's my one question for Zach Tom this summer. I think every summer I'm going to have one question for Zach Tom. Last year it was, have you read Lord of the Rings? This summer it will be, do you drink beer? Thanks for the input. Menace, how you doing, man? Remember when we let Micah Casey walk but gave Nick Perry a pretty extension? I still have nightmares about it. Teb was solid GM, but woof on that one. I'll say this to the day I pass. The Casey Hayward thing made it all the sense in the world. I'll never give Ted crap about that one. The Micah thing is hard because it wasn't Ted who made the call. It was Russ Ball. That's via Rob Domofsky's reporting. I'm not saying that out of turn. That has been out there for a long time because Ted's faculties were waning and things were hectic behind the scenes. Russ Ball made that call. So it's hard to put that one on Ted. The Nick Perry thing, yeah, he never really reached the potential that they saw for him. He certainly was effective for a while, even with a club on his hand. But yeah, that was probably a swing and a miss from Ted, no doubt. She said, Joey, what's going on, man? Jordan Fuller is still out there. Didn't I see he signed earlier today? I may be imagining that, but someone should check me in the comments. I'm not quite 1,000% sure, but I did think he signed somewhere. Nathaniel, what's going on, man? Josh Jacobs, Jingleheimer Schmidt. His name is my name, too. Whenever he busts out, the D will always shout, there goes Josh Jacobs, Jingleheimer Schmidt. Nathaniel. Outstanding. And now you have just guaranteed that I'm going to can sing that on a watch party this year. Porkmaster, what's up, man? When you go to your next Packers game, will you please bring a sign that says, just tackle? Your hopes for the defense make me laugh, and I share them. Porkmaster, we can dream, man. A man can dream. You guys ever considered signing Russ Ball to handle your financials? Sure, if Russ Ball would deign to speak with us. Chad, how are you, man? Random Packer, Tim Harris. Excellent pull. Phenomenal. No notes, Chad. Nick Seeley, how are you, man? Any idea how much salary cap is left, even though salary cap isn't real? Oh, it's very real. Ask the Bills or ask the Chargers. Very real. No idea how much is left. That's a Ken Ingles question, my friend. Ed, how are you, man? Participate in a Super Bowl? How about we win 3 in a row and let some other teams participate? Just saying. I just want to get to the Super Bowl, man. Like, yeah, sure, win it. That'd be great. And then let's go win another one. I'm all about that life. I'm just saying, man. Like, let's just let things happen naturally. We don't need to like start talking about dynasties before we've even participated in a championship game. Autumn, how are you? Been watching tape on Xavier and noticed how many interceptions he has had and just amazing foresight to make crazy pass breakups. Shimmers of Woodson in his play. Here's hoping. Woodson's pretty lofty, but you can bet he is going to be near around breaking up, you know, the football with way more regularity than we've been used to. I talked about this on Transplants yesterday. I think Tyler clipped it for our socials. Yeah, it's going to be like eye-opening. Packers fans are just not going to know what sport they're watching with McKinney out there. It's going to be noticeable. He is absolutely a ball hawk and one of those rare guys who can play center field, right? Do that post safety, like deep third, etc. But man, he diagnoses stuff really well and breaks on it, trusts his eyes, and is able to go from center field, like that far hash even, and get over to the opposite sideline, the pass breakup up the sideline. Things of that nature that we just haven't seen a whole hell of a lot of in Green Bay in a very long time. I am with you. I am very, very excited about that signing. Ian, what's going on, man? How are you? Still think we sign a vet safety in the next few days. I know that list is getting limited, but still options. Thanks, bro. Ian, I agree. Like I said, kind of at the start here, I think they'll continue to let the market settle a little bit. But yes, I do think at some point another vet safety will probably be on the offer. But we'll see. I mean, maybe the market doesn't materialize. Maybe everyone is, or essentially just, you know, snapped up by teams that are willing to pay a little bit more. That's entirely possible. But yeah, I'm with you, man. I think that we'll get another signing or two yet. Menace, how are you? Can you dive a little deeper on Russ Ball overruling our GM with Micah? Never heard that story, and I thought the GM was the boss. How did that work? I mean, like I said, Rob Domofsky wrote about it years ago, but you know, it's no secret that Ted was really struggling with his health towards the end. And Mark Murphy probably held on to the structure that they had with Ted for a little too long, but that off season, Russ Ball was making a lot of general manager type decisions simply because Ted wasn't up for it or up to it. I'm not going to say too much about it just because the reporting is out there that you can read. I would try to find Rob Domofsky, ESPN, obviously, Russ Ball, Micah Hyde, Ted Thompson. You should probably be able to find the article I'm talking about. But that's, this is not like guesswork here. That's Rob reported it. Solid work. And it was a very, very tough time behind the scenes. I'll never forget because I was on the beat and we would be at those games with the Packers, basically, especially on the away games, they would sit right behind us. And, you know, Ted just was not right. And it was a slow thing, but it was a noticeable thing. And it was pretty hard for everybody involved. So it's about as deep as I can go into it. She said, Joey, what's up, man? I think it's Kendall Fuller who you're thinking of. Ah, you're right. Thank you, she said. That is correct. Do you think we could be competitive in a non-cap league? Not for long, Rick. I think at first they'd be able to swim in those waters for a little bit, but I think it would be only a matter of time before the Packers would essentially have to fold. Give it a decade, probably. Talked about this a lot, you know, because Jerry Jones dreams of a world where there is no salary cap in the NFL. It's one of the main drivers of Green Bay's not just success, but the fact that they exist. It's just the market realities. The way that teams like Dallas or the major market teams would be able to just print money comparative to what's on offer in the Green Bay area, even in throughout Wisconsin as a market, it wouldn't last. It wouldn't be overnight, but it wouldn't last. All right, everybody, I got to get going. I can't thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.